Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Gavlik, who's unmarked as he streaks away into an open goal.
Hit the boundary line.
Oh, the post is broken. Matthews hit it.
Boy, oh boy, wow-wee.
He shoots towards goal. What more can you say?
Here we are for the round 13 edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast. My name is Lauren Wood. I am joined by Michael Warner, John Anderson, and Scotty Gullen. Scotty, you join us from the Barwon Heads Hub. Fatigued? What's the feeling? The footy frenzy is officially over.
We can all take a little bit of a breath. I think I'm not the only one that I was tuning in for the first quarter, and then dinner would be served and the TV would get hijacked for an hour or so and I'd probably come back to it. I enjoyed it, but a little freshen up. But I will say I hope it continues next year in some form.
Well, it may do just that, Mick. What did you make of it? Because I'm for.
Well, please.
Our household consumed every quarter of every game. I don't know whether that's unfortunately or
fortunately. Because you're locked in your house. Because you're locked in your bloody house with nothing to do for six bloody months. I mean,
live with an absolute footy head who would watch two flies play footy against each other on a wall. What did you think of it, Mick? You sound a bit tired.
I mean, Scotty, I'm not surprised to hear you say that. But when I heard Jonathan Brown, one of my heroes, say that he wants the festivals next year and he wants to keep 16-minute quarters, to borrow a phrase from Terry Wallace, I wanted to spew up.
No, I don't agree with short games.
To normal life.
Yeah, what about school holidays?
What about them?
It's a good invention, mate. You've got to move with the times.
Footy worked for 150 years and the way it was.
You've got to be inventive.
Well, let's get the deciding vote. You sit on one side of the fence, Mick. You sit on the other side, Scotty. Ando, it's a little bit different for you. You're not as sort of all-consuming in the footy environment these days, are you? And sort of really living it each and every day in the Herald Sun office like you used to. Can you just give this the definitive tick or cross?
Okay, I'd ask the three of you, how many really, really good games were there in 33?
Four or five. Yeah, four or five.
Obviously the Port Richmond game is top of the pops.
Yep, Saints and Gold Coast.
A couple of thrilling finishes, but a long West great Coast games.
There was a St Kilda Gold Coast was a good standard game, I thought. But really, Geelong West Coast was sort of grippy. It was low scoring like most of them are. A lot of those games are two goals at half time. Richmond were two goals last night at half time. That's not footy. That's bloody soccer. 3-2. That's a soccer score. So I would say overall, no, look, they've done well to get the games out, get them done. And that's their imprimatur. That's what they're charged with doing. But there's a lot of crap footy. So I'm with Mick. Go back to what it should be, what it is best at, which is playing normal footy over normal time. So,
Three of the competition's biggest clubs are in our sights this week and really keen to delve into this trio in particular. Obviously, we've got a nice little break now this week, time to sort of take a breath and assess what's happened over the last 20 days before we get stuck into it again this weekend with round 13 set to fire up again. But Mick, keen to get your thoughts on Essendon because obviously, they were well and truly in each other in everyone's sights a few days ago. And Adrian Dodoro, the list boss, his name is getting thrown up left, right and centre over the last 24 hours. It's sort of a case of where are they at, isn't it?
5,827, Lauren.
How often do you check that Twitter account, by the way? Of course, the days since Essendon won a final.
2004. That tells you everything you need to know about the frustration in the ranks of the Essendon Army. And fair enough too. I mean, that's way too long for a great football club to be languishing in mediocrity. And I've said it for a long time. Essendon has lost its identity since the drugs crisis. And I don't know when they're going to get it back. But we saw with Richmond and we've seen with other clubs like Carlton that you can go into a black hole and sometimes you never come out of it. And they're right in the heart of one.
Ando, what have you made of the Bombers over the last few weeks?
Port Affair. Love to probably judge them when they've had their full list playing loss, and they haven't really had that. I know, look, everyone gets injuries and the rest of it. If you're talking about Adrian Dodora, that's when you judge him. And Joe Danaher, like, go back to Anzac Day last year. He was arguably best man on the ground. Showed you what he can do. They haven't had him, and they haven't had Stringer together probably ever. I don't know what Arazio's, what's going on with him. Laverde Langford have been injured. You go through their drafts. 2013, Zach Merritt at 26, very good. Very good 26 pick. Fantasia at 55, very good. Kurt Ayler, Paul Chapman was a trade shortly, but for that, Danaher, Jane. Look, I don't think he's been terrible, but he's going to naturally cop it because they're just an in-between side, aren't they? They threaten, they start to think they're going to make it, they're going to play a role, and then they sort of disappear again. They don't have a – maybe they got a ruckman coming through. That kid looks really good.
Yeah, he looks good.
Yeah, he looks really good. Danaher's the key. If they lose Danaher for nothing, and that's what I think will happen, that he'll walk as a free agent – that's an awful scenario for them, and it's unpalatable for any member, and the pressure will be just about unbearable for them.
And the old coaching handover, Loz, never works. I'm sorry.
No, I'm with you, Scotty. The bad look
never works.
It doesn't look right. Worsfold sitting down on the boundary. And
looking bored.
Looking bored. And you've got
he always looks bored.
Then Rutland coaches, and then Worsfold speaks after the game.
Yeah,
John, the poker face, John, isn't it? It's extraordinary how he can do that. But it really works.
If it's going to be Rutten's team, and I agree with Robbo today, if it's going to be Rutten's team, well, you know, Bush has copped the heat now. They should trade roles. Put Rutten out there. You've got to learn how to cop the heat and talk and explain where you're going. And Wooshu can play the backseat role now. You've got to give the new guy, you know, exposure.
Do we really judge teams, though, in the COVID year? Like,
no,
really?
But you
full on delve into it, or, you know, sacking coaches type stuff, or do we just have to wait until, well, if we ever have a season next year, midway through next year? I mean, they're still not far out of the eight, are they?
They might as well be 15 games out of the eight. they're not appearing in finals, surely not.
Bush has done his job for them in that hasn't he, Mick? Like, and Scotty, like, you talked about how steady he was, and it was almost, from the outside, you sort of looked at it as that was the reason he got the job at that time. You know, it was the middle of the saga. They needed that steady hand. You'd hate for this to almost be the defining memory of his time there, wouldn't you? That it's, as you said, sitting bored on the bench and sort of moved aside for Ben Rutten.
Oh, he came in and he was the perfect man to handle all that transition. And he'll be forever remembered as doing an amazing job in keeping that list and club ticking over to a degree, but they made the call to move him on. They're trying to do it in a nice, you know, with a bow on top, but it's not working out, so he should step back and the new guy have a practice run for 6 weeks. But no, I don't think it damages his rep. It probably enhances his rep as a guy who can go in and help out a team because he's well respected.
Do you guys buy into the theory that you need people, Essendon people, whether we're talking about Essendon, but, you know, they've got Mark Harvey there, but some sort of Essendon
blood. Carousel has gone back.
Yeah.
I don't agree with that, Mick. I mean, it got him in trouble, obviously, with Hurdy and others, but I don't think a great club needs great people who, you know, were brought up in that club. I don't agree with that.
What about Connor McKenna? And I obviously sat down Sunday afternoon to watch the Bombers take on St Kilda, and there were a few nightmare moments from him now, and it sort of makes you wonder a bit, doesn't it? He's been really open about his homesickness and his desire to return back to Ireland, but, well, I wouldn't say at every opportunity, but just about the way that it's been going. Where do you think he's at?
I'll tell you what, if you want him to go home, keep playing him as a forward. That'll get rid of him quickly enough. He really loved that, didn't he? Seriously, that Irish guys, traditionally, that Carlton had a few of them, Sheehan and Byrne and Tui. We had Byrne look like being a star, went homesick. Ty Connelly. We're talking half-back flankers. I know Tui's gone forward this year a bit, but Tui's a bloke who's played 10 years of footy.
Pierce Hanley.
his hand. They love the ball in front of them, being able to run onto it and do their skills. And the playing forward, it was laughable to me. So, and look, I expect him to go home anyway. They've had trouble with him since he's come back, that he's really struggled. And you feel for the bloke, that's fair enough. And so they lose him. They potentially lose Danaher. They've got aged players, Hooker, not getting any younger. Sarakis, Bill Chambers is, hopefully he can be replaced anyway. But no, they got issues for sure.
Do you keep playing McKenna then? Like, there's five games to go. You're saying there's been issues and
that
he wants to go home. Do you keep playing him for the next five rounds?
Yeah, you do. Yeah, you play. Yeah, look, you try and keep him, get him playing good footy again. And that's the carrot. If he doesn't play now, and that's the last game he plays, he's not going to have really good memories, is he? So get him out there and get him doing what he does so well, which is they had three gun halfback flankers in Redman and McKenna and Saad. Andy McGrath's gone into the midfield. But so I'll tell you who goes hardest on the Bombers. I reckon it's Robbo. He doesn't miss them, does he? He just continually has a crack. He's almost like a frustrated Essendon supporter, you'd think.
Yeah, but I think that goes to what I was saying about identity. And for Essendon people, this is an unidentifiable club. Like, the arrogant Essendon we grew up with, they were compared to Manchester United, remember?
Yeah.
And they're a shadow of themselves.
What do they need, Mick? As you say, an Essendon person back there steering the ship?
No, they just need a massive clean out, I think. There's a lot of baggage there. And it's not an easy fix. As I said, it can take 10 years. They're not horrific, but they're in that sort of no man's land. Even with those players back, Ando, I don't reckon they're a premiership list.
No, they're not a premiership list. Is there anyone still there of note from the drug era?
Well, the CEO was there. Dodoro's there. I'm not saying that they're involved, but, I mean, the players, there's a lot of people. You're getting in the car, Scotty.
I am.
He's a bit of silence at the Bowen Head, so a bit of rain down at the surf.
Stone of rain, so I'm trying to avoid the noise factor.
Yes, Ando. There's a lot of people who can remember those dark days.
Mick, I'm really keen to talk to you about the last week that you've had. You've been busier than probably all of us combined with, of course, this Bomber Thompson series that has rolled out in the paper and online at heraldsun.com.au over recent days. I must admit, just to sort of a self-indulgent moment, I've just found this absolutely compelling. Like, I've sat down each and every morning with a coffee, read the paper, every single word of it, gone online. The videos were fantastic. You had podcast elements, all the rest of it. It's not every day that you get someone being that open about every aspect of their life, is it?
Not everyone would agree with you, Lauren, but thanks for that. Look,
I was going to ask you how the feedback was. But
he's an enigma, Bomber. And Ando, you know, as a Cats man, what he did for your club. I interviewed him 13 months ago before his trial, and he is a completely different person to the mess that he was back then. And what I really liked in interviewing him is when his eyes lit up when you asked him about that Geelong team, Ando, he coached to two premierships, would have been three if he'd stayed. And I was fascinated to hear Lee Matthews say that he reckons that a lot of the defensive crap, congestion that we see today is as a direct result of game plans that coaches brought in to counter Bomber Thompson's the last run-and-gun freewheeling team based on defence first. He talked a lot about how being a player under Sheedy and then an assistant under Pagan, he learnt that defence comes first, but then you attack off the back of that and the turnover. And geez, they were a great team, Geelong. And if you look at their scores, they'd kick over 120 points for 15 out of the 20 games. But, yeah, great to see Bomber back up and about, and hopefully he can reclaim his life.
Can I ask, Michael, obviously you'd been keeping contact, but were you surprised he said yes, or did he ring you and say it's time? Do you know what I mean? How did it come about?
Well, I'd been talking to him. Obviously, I've got to know him through the drug saga, and then he worked at 3AW with me. And his corrections order finished last month, and he wasn't able to do anything until that expired. Yep. So once that happened, I went and sat down with him a few times.
Did you buy a table?
I was just going to say that.
No.
Did you pay a table?
Oh, no, surely we have to pay for a table.
I know a few people who have. It might be a whisper for you, actually.
Oh, hey, yeah. Come on.
Actually, I know someone who went out and saw him making the tables, which was a former teammate in Crackers Keenan. Crackers has always had a lot of time for Bomber, and he's Crackers' good mates with his brother Steve. Steve's kind of a bit of a rock in all this, isn't he? He's been a catalyst. Scotty, Mick, I was interested. He spoke openly about his use of ice, as we know, amphetamine, and smoking it through a pipe, which is fairly daunting for most of us who have never been in that area, and hopefully never will be. He said he used drugs in 2017 the first time. I was
early
surprised 17. At that, and I've got absolutely no inner knowledge, but I was surprised that that was the first time that he'd actually used drugs. But, I take him at his word.
Yeah, he was adamant about that, and he said he'd heard all the same rumours that you had, but he flatly denies that. Ice, I mean, that's an insidious drug, and some people get on it and never get off it. So, I went out to his factory as well, Ando, and it's just great to see. I mean, just imagine one of the current 18 senior coaches, going down that road that he went down. It was a massive story. He's an enigma, a great footy person, 5 premierships, puts him in rare air.
Well, you're talking about another coach going down that path, but going down a different path is Dean Laidley, who coached around the same time as Mark Thompson coached. So they're two extraordinary stories, and in their own way equally tragic, really.
Well, he talked about the fake world of footy.
Yeah.
That guys aren't, they go into this thing at 18, 17, 18, even though they pretend to do courses. And, tomorrow's interview, he talks about Paul Chapman, for example, who just thought that footy would go forever and he kept enrolling in courses, but he never really intended to finish them. And so Bomber brought a carpentry course to Cardinia Park, and after training you'd make him go in and actually get on the hacksaw or whatever you do in carpentry, and he got his qualifications, and now he's a handyman, isn't he, Bomber?
Chappie worked with Tim McGrath, Bluey McGrath at Geelong, as Tim's Bluey, as Scotty would know, is a builder and a very good one. And then I reckon recently Chappie built his home up at Macedon. In Lauren's house. So his wife, Lauren, works, and Chappie's home dad, and in his spare time built their home. So, he's a good story. I mean, Bombers, those guys who played under him, Scotty knows them probably better than I do, but they still speak very well of him, Scott, don't they?
Oh, yeah, they worship him, absolutely, for what he did to them. And, he turned that team into what it was and won flags, and he just taught them the right way to play.
He empowered them. I asked him about his philosophy, and he says you sit down, the players, all of them, and all of you, as he says, and you get their input. And he said over the years they coached themselves. He said I didn't need to send the runner down to tell them to fix up that gap at the stoppage, because Ling and Bartel and Ablett and on and went Enright, they knew how to do it, and he had 18 coaches anyway. So great era for you, Mando.
Does he speak about Matthew Scarlett at all?
And
if Scarlett, does he mention if he thinks Scarlett could become a coach in his own right?
He didn't say that, but I asked him who his favourite was, and he sort of paused and said, Matthew Scarlett, quote, he's the man.
I would have thought he'd say, and I'd be interested to see what Scotty says, when he asked for his favourite, I would have thought he would have said one of two blokes, either Joel Corey or Max Rook.
No. Yeah. Scarlett was his favourite, but he loved them all.
That's one for your tombstone, isn't it? He's the man. I don't mind.
I like Spike Milligan's I Told You I Was Sick.
Yeah.
Just quickly before we move on, Mick, just before we move on to Hawthorn and Collingwood, just one last one on Bomber. You mentioned then that you knew him and interviewed him quite a bit during the drug saga, saw him go through all of that, spoke to him before his court case. We saw everything that went on with that. There were cameras in airports, and when he flew overseas, and he went through everything that he went through. it's one thing for people to say that I've changed and I'm back, and you know, we often hear that from people that have been to really dark places. But did you get the sense from him that this was real? Did you notice anything about him that you thought, geez, he really is?
Well, it's a good question. He was a lot, like I said, 13 months ago, he was really not well, and he's totally looks better and sounding better. And just if you read the quotes, if people can be bothered, you can see he's pretty lucid in his thoughts. And even tomorrow, he talks about how he reckons the game got it wrong, bringing Gold Coast and GWS in one year after the other. He said that we're still feeling the effect of the talent drain. So they're pretty clear thoughts. So, yes, I think he's on the road back, and let's wish him well.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously keeping an eye on the footy too, which is always good to see. So well done, Mick. It's been a great series. Everyone, of course, can catch up with it at our website, as you mentioned there, part four in the Wednesday Herald Sun. I had to think about that
part
then, because just about
be interesting. I think part
four. We're going to say. We've got a couple more weeks.
How many chapters have we got, Mick? No, it's been fantastic, and across a range of platforms. So we'd obviously encourage everyone to check it out if they haven't already. Just mention Hawthorn, then, one of the big three clubs that we're going to look at here, Ando. They've been labelled over the last 24 hours as the sociable Hawks. I was really interested to see Gary Lyon speak after the Monday night game, of course, after Richmond took care of Gold Coast, about the Hawks' sort of lack of attitude. You know, the happy team at Hawthorn sort of couldn't have rung more true. Here's what Gary had to say on Fox Footy on the couch.
There was a time not that long ago that the Hawthorn Footy Club were the most feared team in the competition, and no one wanted to play them. Because they were the best team in it, but they played on an edge and had an edge about them. And they become known as the unsociable Hawks. And sometimes they teetered over the edge, but they wore it as a badge of honour because they made a really hostile environment for any opposition. So I want to introduce you to a new team. They are the sociable Hawks. So what you get now is you wander out as a forward, you get a little joke, a couple of zingers, a little pat on the back, a bit of rub of the head. So there's James Foley and Liam Ryan can take hangers all over the captain. The captain will have a laugh with him, say, geez, you're in good marking form. And then James Sicily will go down the other end, and he and Oscar Allen will have a joke. Then the ball gets bounced, and this is the first thing that happens. And then Josh Kennedy kicks two goals in quick succession. So I'm happy for the abuse to come my way. I might be outdated. I might be old school. I hated that. I hated seeing it.
Now, Ando, he sort of back-ended it with, you know, I know people are going to say I'm old school, and I know people are going to come for me and all the rest of it, but the laughing, the joking, you know, with opposition, it's not the Hawthorn that we knew of those premiership years, is it?
Actually, speaking of Gary Lyon, I've seen him twice in the past week pounding the streets around the area where he must live.
Within his 5 kilometres, hopefully.
Well, I'm sure he's doing that. He had a beanie on, actually, which I thought was a bit unusual. Look when you're running, but anyway. he loves his beanie, Gary. He's really without his beanie, Gary. But, he's got a couple of kg to lose. I've got about 10. I'm not going to have to throw too many stones in my little brittle glass house. But, Gary, I actually hadn't heard what he had said, but Hawthorn, well, when you had – it depends on your personnel, doesn't it? If you got – like James Sicily doesn't play footy like that, and sadly he's not going to be around for a long time. He's a edgy player. They had that with Hodge and Lewis and Mitchell, those type of blokes, just instilled that in them. And Clarkson loves that because that's how Alistair Clarkson played himself. I think they're not good enough. That's their main problem. And I think they're a fair way off being good enough too. You talk about Essendon. I'm not sure Hawthorn's in any better shape.
Yeah, but they had 4 premierships. It's called equalisation, Ando.
I understand that. And we're talking about right now, and they've done incredibly well to stay up there as long as they have.
Yeah.
Because they were up there in 2008, weren't they? So that's a long time for any side to stay competitive. And that's credit to Graham Wright and their recruiting team and their list management. But right now, I'm not mad on their list. Yeah, I've got to say, where's it coming from? Because I thought by now, Mitch Lewis would be a really good player for them. Based on what we saw last year, towards the end of last year, he came into that side and did really well. And he's one that can make a difference, and he hasn't sadly made that difference for them.
And poor old Ben Stratton, I mean, the captaincy doesn't seem to have sat that well with him as a he's playing average. He's I don't know. It's just I know they didn't have a lot of candidates, but you'd think that's something they'll look at.
Yeah, a few years ago, he was one of the most sort of regarded, just unsung heroes.
He's not having a good year.
No.
So once you got keep Amira, it on. Mitchell, what do you do?
Probably Amira.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? And I suppose even with the sort of sociability of the teams, it's a year out of the box. A lot of them are staying in the same hub resorts. You know, it's all sort of – it's a little bit different.
That was interesting, Loz, you raised that. That was raised on 3RW by Ross Stephen. He said, what's with all these players being so friendly and actually talking and joking during games? Not after games, during games.
No, this was waiting for the centre bounce.
Yeah, it's bizarre. And look, they know each other far better than they did previously. They play the under-18 competitions, help that, and they play championships together, some of them go overseas together, social media. I get all that, but you just see it so often these days where players are talking during games. And it has to be what you just said, Loz, something to do with the hubs where they're seeing more and more of each other. And once you meet someone, like Mick and I can be good haters, you know, over the journey, we've sort of had the people. No, we that's fair comment. We can dislike.
That's a good top 10 list.
Yeah, I'm not bad like that. But once you meet someone who you didn't like previously, you didn't know much about him, you end up liking him. It makes it bloody hard to hate him, I can tell you. So when you see him next, you can't be that nasty to him. You've got to be nice to them because you realise they're not bad blokes. That's what's happening with AFL footballers. They've met, you know, because most people aren't bad blokes. Most blokes are playing footy. And they find it hard to be that shitty to them on the ground. That's how I see it.
Sam Collins has got that sort of thing.
No, oh, Sam, boy. Sam wanted to take out. Well, hang on, you can't blame him. Tom Lynch.
I didn't mind it.
Yeah, your mate Lynch.
Was he upset about being punched in the gut? Was he?
Correct. Yeah.
That's well, I think for the whole affair, he was pretty upset by it.
That was extraordinary footage of him.
He wanted to go on with him.
Yeah.
Well, he wanted to go on with the concrete post in the rooms, I think, was the target.
What's wrong with Tom Lynch? Why can't he kick a few goals?
Well, that's the problem. He kicked the goal and he got off the chain there.
He doesn't kick tactics, Michael.
Well, there's no one's kicking any goals, Ando.
Oh, yeah? Really?
What did you think of the – before we're on Tom Lynch.
He's three behind Hawkins.
I saw he's not three behind Hawkins. Okay.
Just checking you're on your toes.
Hey, Mick, I backed Lynch to win the buddy, I was going to say Norm Smith, whatever it's called, the John Colley medal. I backed him to win that. So I've been following him very closely. And I reckon he's on about 18 or 19, and Hawkins is on 30. So there's a fair difference.
Wow.
He's got a bit of catching up to do.
He'll close that gap in the Dreamtime game, I think, unless he gets a week.
Well, I don't. We're waiting on that at the moment. I wouldn't have thought because he's copped it for the what he's called the open hand hit to the stomach. But I watched that. Like, it was Jake Arts that got Collins the second time and that it? actually felled him. So
Collins has to have a broken hand, doesn't he?
Oh,
punching that concrete.
I touch wood. I've never punched a wall. I hope I never do. But if he doesn't come out with a broken knuckle after that, I'll go heat.
Hey, just on Sam Collins.
I like the look of that anger.
Sam Collins plays for Gold Coast and he's ineligible to win the Rising Star because he's a mature age recruit. Who wins the Rising Star? Two, 3 weeks ago, it was all over. What was all over 6 weeks ago because Matt Rowe was going to win it by the length of the straight. Then Matt Rowe's teammate, Isaac Rankin, became a really short price favourite on the back of some spectacular Dacos-like performances. He's been really quiet in the last three weeks.
He can't win.
He's still $2.50 favourite, Scotty. Caleb Sarong played a game 3 weeks ago, which was like Nathan Buckley. He just did everything in the midfield.
Yeah, well, you told us about it.
He's hardly touched the ball since. Max King's going okay. Noah Anderson was arguably best player
last
night.
He's good.
Yeah. So I reckon Noah Anderson right now just about should be favourite. He's been very consistent, Noah Anderson.
Yeah, so Max King hasn't been nominated yet. I'd be in Max King's corner, even though he hasn't been nominated, only for sort of consistency.
Yeah,
it's hard for a full forward to win that award.
Yeah,
I mean he's shown a lot, but he'll probably average one goal. I mean, Yeah, Sarong had the momentum, Mando, but yeah, if Anderson gets the consistency vote, I mean, Rankin can't win it. He's been gone missing for a month.
Hmm. Geez, they're going to be good though, the Suns, aren't they? They're on the precipice.
Yep. They recruited well. It's a good mix.
Yep. Mm. It'll be interesting to see too. Rising Star could be presented the same night as the Brownlow and the All-Australian team, according to Ralphie's story today. So we might all be watching it via Zoom from our hubs again. So it'll be interesting to see what plays out there. Of course, decisions to be made over about the next 10 days or so on the grand final and the Brownlow. So we'll be sure to keep you up to date with that. I mentioned there was going to be three big clubs, boys, and there's not really, I mean, Mick had probably put an argument in for Richmond, but they don't come much bigger than the one on Olympic Boulevard, and that, of course, is the Collingwood Footy Club. Incredibly wounded, Scotty. They've had another couple on the weekend. Ben Reid went down with another soft tissue injury. I think we all feel for him. And Brodie Mijacek's going to stake his claims to play this weekend, but that was an incredibly huge hit for him. Tendon involvement in Adam Treloar's hamstring. Braden Sires got that, what sounds like a horrific quad injury. You wonder whether it's just getting a bit too long, that injury list now.
I think so, Loz. And I think for the first time, Bucks, you know, said that's we look the most unconnected I've seen in their game style, because they've been fortunate, like a lot of the good teams, Geelong and others, that the depth is there. They come in, one soldier out, and the next one sort of bats up, and they look the same when they play. Collingwood don't, and they can't score. They just simply cannot kick goals. So a wise man said once, you've got to kick more goals to win this, and they just they don't.
Is that Confucius? So,
Confucius said that. So I think for the first time when Bucks publicly admits, you know, that looked the worst I've seen it. And you know, what have we got? 6 weeks, that injury list. They face a big, big challenge.
Do you bring back Mason Cox, Ando? Is this his last chance?
Darcy Cameron, he was going okay. He had a shocker on the weekend. Cox and Cameron are the same forward line.
Well, if Mychick's out, they might.
Oh, no, you can't. But I don't care whether Mychick's there or not. You can't play Cox and Cameron alongside each other. They're both logs, you know, in terms of the ball hitting the ground.
What's happened to Stevenson?
I don't. Stevenson, well, we had Mick McGowan saying he wasn't attacking the ball hard enough. 2 years ago, he was just a wonderfully exciting footballer, wasn't he, Jaden Stevenson? And he plays a delicate type of game. He's a touch footballer. His touch's been off. His kicking for goals been off. He'll come back. Really interesting to see what they do with Jaden Stevenson, Collingwood. I imagine he's there for the long term, but, you know, those things aren't guaranteed if they got the right deal for him, because he's too good a player to be playing, not playing seniors. But he's been dropped twice now, hasn't he, this year?
Mm.
Very interesting. Keep an eye on them. You still, I don't know. It's always hard to write teams off in this environment because so much can happen. And we say even that there's 5 weeks to go, but with the crammy of games, it's sort of, it could be less, it could be more. We've just got to wait and see. Just a couple of quick ones before we hit Scotty up for his whisper this week. Mick, Elijah Taylor over in the West with that COVID breach, there's more and more emerging about that. It seems like it was more calculated than just an errant sort of slip through the lobby of the hotel, and obviously a young player who we won't see again this season.
Yeah, but I've got sympathy for this kid. I'm in the minority. He's been absolutely smashed, and it was stupid. But he's 19 years old. He's madly in love. They're living in these.
As you were, Michael.
I think we forget what that was like. Exactly.
And you know, the West Australian Premier was right in being angry about the whole thing. But
Sydney said they set him down because they identified him as a problem soul with this thing and said, mate, you're not allowed to do this, this and this.
Yeah,
and then she climbed two fences and swam through a river.
Yeah, I understand all that.
MacGyver style to get
their kids, right? They're not grown adults playing tennis.
Come on, Michael.
No.
You're a stickler for these rules, and now you're
turning.
I am,
but I've also – no. People in positions of power who do wrong things annoy me. Kids who jump fences and stuff, I'm okay with that.
What are your feelings then, Mick, about...
not okay with it. I'm not going to hang him out to dry.
I'm always keen to get your views on HQ with these matters because I saw Corbin Middlemast, who Ando knows well, of course, a commentator at the ABC, tweeted after the news of Elijah Taylor's breach, the differences in the press releases between the initial ones with Brooke Cotchin and the North Melbourne players, and where it was specifically stated that the identity of people would be protected...
I
can't remember the exact wording, but that, you know, in the interest of all parties, we're keeping identity secret. And then the Elijah Taylor one comes out and it's Sydney Swans player Elijah Taylor has broken the rules and here's the penalty. Is it double standards or are we just reading too much into it in ISO?
No, it's double standards, but you're not surprised by that, are you?
No.
Well.
He's expendable, so they expended him.
Yeah. How... Very quickly, we mentioned earlier, and I was talking about whether the footy frenzy will continue on into next season. I mean, we're probably reading tea leaves a little bit, aren't we, Mick? But there's talk that, you know, the season might be pushed back. Are we getting a little bit too far ahead of ourselves trying to look into the crystal ball for next year at this stage?
No, unfortunately not. This COVID thing just looks like it's hanging around. So I guess they're entitled to look at contingencies. But, God, imagine if footy didn't start till June. The hell are we going to do with ourselves for 6 months?
So is that all based on no crowds? So
if no vaccine, yeah.
Why play it?
Try and save the money towards the back end of the year.
Well, they might not come home. Out there, if they stay in Queensland after the season, has been talked about, if I was in Queensland, I probably wouldn't be rushing back.
If you know anyone who can come up with a vaccine... Let me know.
It's really interesting overseas how they're attacking it. So if you go to, say, well, Spain have had a really bad time the past week again. They've had a massive spike. But UK, parts of America, they're kind of dealing with it and going on. Germany, you know, soccer in Italy, they're just going about their lives as normally as they can in the knowledge that people are going to die if you're not really careful. So that's kind of where – and we didn't do that because – we're in a position where we could control it better than they could. So we never got thousands and thousands of people like they have in European countries and America. So, I mean, that wouldn't shock me that the next year that's how we live. And it's a bit of a risk if you want to go and watch the football, but a lot of people will take that risk. That's how I see it happening anyway, unless, as you said, Mick, there's someone finds a vaccine.
Yeah.
Scotty, the score Christmas party might just have to be bigger and better in 2021.
Oh, I've got to save up my pennies for Michael and others who really set themselves for that.
Oh, it's penciled in months in advance. Don't you worry. It might be from our lounge rooms over Zoom at this rate because I don't think we want to let that one slip. We had an intriguing whisper in the Tuesday paper with a PR individual and their particular focus on a commentator firmly under the microscope there, Scotty.
A bit of Twitter ranting, Lauren, never goes well, particularly late at night.
The Twitterlizer. I tell you, we can invent a Twitterlizer where you blow into your phone before you tweet and if you point over 0.05, the tweet doesn't send, you could make millions.
Well, we've had a PR professional and Wayne Carey both fall victim within a week, haven't we?
He admitted it, didn't he?
What was that? Sorry.
Oh, you've got to own it.
He was saying, he tweeted out who's the best centre forward about himself when he's pissed. That's hilarious. What was he trying to achieve?
I thought he must have been hacked.
It was like a Monday. No, he owned up to it, didn't he?
Then the next morning, I think he gave it the old don't...
It's like a Monday
don't tweet
night
while drinking. Yeah,
that's outstanding. Yeah,
not ideal. Have you got a whisper for us before we head off for this week, Scotty?
Yes, lots of, you know, coronavirus affects us all in different ways, and you know, highs and lows. And the MCC had their annual general meeting over Zoom, obviously, and one of their high-profile members got very emotional when they were talking about coronavirus and. Some people suggested to me there was some sort of tears when discussing the impact coronavirus was having on their precious little big stadium down there. So it was a bit unusual to see the tears flowing from MCC high up leadership. That's what I've been told.
Well, isolation has done strange things to all of us. I think we've all it had does. Emotional moments.
I'm regularly crying, particularly around the quarter time, about 4:30 every day.
That is fantastic. A quick whip around just before we head off. We obviously have got no footy until the weekend. Mick, what are you going to do with yourself? What are you going to watch?
Probably Paw Patrol with Charlie and William, I'd say.
On high rotation. Ando is actually our series correspondent. If you're ever looking for anything to watch, we generally hit up Ando. Have you got any recommendations with a few free nights ahead of us?
Can I give you Before We Die, Loss?
No.
Oh, unbelievably good.
Oh.
We Die. Okay.
You do say that a lot, though, about you've given me 10 recommendations. Mind you,
I've got one. How to Get Away with Murder. You onto this one?
Yes. Yeah, I've seen that.
Is that about the series? Just, saga, or?
It's not bad, but Scotty, I've watched that whole series, Before We Die. It's about,
the process.
It's 60% better.
Oh, really? Wow.
It's as good as you'll ever see in terms of all those Swedish type cop dramas and whatever.
Yeah.
So there's one for your loss.
Very kind, Ando. Not as pressing for Scotty, of course, given that he's in the Bowen Heads Hub. He's only stage three down there, so he's still allowed to play golf while wearing a mask.
It's down to pairs. It's a disaster.
Oh. I was talking to Greg Swan last week, week before, and I said, how are the horses going? And he said, I've got one that's just going all right. And I think it's running at Sandown tomorrow in race three called Shotmaker.
Oh, yes.
And they reckon it's a pretty good horse. So there's one for you, Loss.
Maybe a responsible interest.
I have heard Mick Price's voicemail about that.
Did Greg Swan say anything about Lockie Hunter?
Oh, come on. Who spread that, Michael? Caroline Wilson, please.
Well, Greg Swan and Lockie's – well, Greg Swan's known Lockie Hunter since he was a baby because he's really good mates with his dad, with Mark Hunter. But that's – my understanding is that's not going to happen, Lockie staying at the Bulldogs.
It's got a 15-year contract or something.
Yeah. Mm. No, anyway.
That was I still love the story where the Lockie Neal basically rang the Lions and said, hey, what do you reckon? They're like, is this a prank call?
is this really Lockie Neal? Oh, fantastic. Hey, always great to catch up with you guys from our isolation hubs. We'll be back next week with the round 14 edition of the Herald Sun Footy Podcast as Footy Frenzy 2.0. prepares to begin. We'll keep you updated at heraldsun.com.au every day and, of course, in the paper. But enjoy a few days off. Enjoy the footy next weekend and we'll catch you next Tuesday.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here, right here.